Hello, welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 162. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week is the
crud
and recovery week.
Yeah, I would say it's the con recovery week. It's like, okay, I don't want to do anything. I need to type articles, but I do not have the energy to do so right now, so it will get done later.
Oh. This was the week that Proteus came back to, like, do still 40 hours and 4 days of work.
My work was boring, but I managed to get kind of sick. Not, like, super bad, just enough that I feel tired and achy and drained and my ears hurt and I just want to sleep. Friday was a long day. 2 hours of work, 6 hours of what am I going to do?
Yeah, my week was... I didn't have the long week Proteus did, but I did have, like, two... I had at least two, about two interviews per day trying to hire people.
Any luck in that front?
I think we have two guys that we're hoping will work out well. It was a busy week. I did continue my Mass Effect 3 playthrough, and I was playing some of the DLC that I hadn't played before. It's actually kind of fun. Some of the lines in it are rather funny. So this is going to be a spoiler thing for some people, so you might want to go ahead 30 seconds to a minute, something like that. I will try to keep it under that. But Shepard is trying to get killed by this strange mystery person who you later find out is a clone that Cerberus had made of him to use for spare parts if Shepard had needed them when he was being regrown. So he is trying to kill Shepard and replace him. So they've hacked it, like, his personal information, got all his, you know, private codes and everything that they need to be him. And the entire time they're like, "You have a clone? I don't want to talk about it." So this clone, "I don't want to talk about it." So that joke went on for a bit while they were chasing him down a little bit. Then they finally get the clone, and he locks them in these huge vaults that they nobody goes to because very few people are actually allowed in them. And the clone says, like, "Well, I must." It's like, "Well, I must be going now." And Shepard, once he gets locked up, is like, "Do I really sound like that?" And I had Rex and Liara with me, and Rex is like, "Yeah? I thought that was all humans. I thought it was, like, a cultural thing. Why has nobody told me I sound like that?" And the other time, Liara's like, "Nobody's going to find us in here. We have maybe an hour of air. Why aren't you more worried about this?" Oh, Glyph, which is this little robotic probe thing. "Yes, Commander. Open this thing up so we can stop this guy from stealing my ship." So he wasn't worried about it because he knew he had a way out. So then they manage to get to the Normandy right before it takes off, and they run into a specialist trainer, which is one of the people on the ship that, if you played Mass Effect 2, she took Kelly's position, which is your kind of personal assistant and analyzer of what's going on the ship. And she's all pissed off that you had just fired her and kicked her off before she had a chance to get her toothbrush, which is this really fancy toothbrush. It's like a 5,000 credit toothbrush.
That toothbrush better be able to, like, clean my house.
Well, it uses the same technology in order to brush your teeth that starships use in order to move faster than light.
I don't think that's a good thing to be having stuck in your mouth brushing your teeth, quite honestly.
Well, they're little Mass Effect fields that they're actually used for a lot of stuff. But the fact that it's in a toothbrush is amazing. So it's like,
I'm going to sign my teeth away.
They can't use the door to get back in the thing, but they found this escape hatch. It's like, "Well, I don't think I have the right abilities to move it, the granularity to move the handle naturally." Well, they end up using the toothbrush to open up the handle. So he's crawling through the underbelly of the ship, and he's like, "If you had told me this morning that a toothbrush would be instrumental in saving my ship, I wouldn't have believed you."
And then
one of the ones that I found, the last one that I found pretty funny was Rex, which is a Krogan, for those of you who are unaware, is an extremely warlike species. While you're in the middle of shooting a bunch of guys on the CIC, which is basically the central command center for the ship, he's like, Rex is like, "I've always wanted to do this. You've always wanted to have a shootout in my CIC, and it's not even my birthday." I thought it was really funny.
Sick. too.
So yeah, I thought I'd forget the name of that DLC, but it was a lot of fun to play. I really enjoyed it.
At least it's not like, oh my gosh, why did it just spend money on this?
Exactly. For the most part, the Mass Effect DLCs have been worth the money they charge.
That's good.
So yeah, that's what I spent several hours doing last night. I was up to like 12:30 playing that.
We went to IKEA.
Apparently my sister-in-law has yet to be there, mainly because my brother refuses to get anything from IKEA. He's like, I'll only buy stuff from like American Furniture Warehouse. Whatever floats your boat, man.
Yeah, my thought is like, if I want, you know, a piece of furniture that weighs a frick ton and it looks like old lady furniture, I go to American Furniture Warehouse.
Well, you see the things from old American Furniture Warehouse, they come with tigers. All the tigers you can
eat. I don't want to eat the tigers. I want to
cook. All the tigers you can eat. Moving on.
Or all the tigers that can eat you.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't live in Colorado, American Furniture Warehouse, one of their things is the commercials always have tigers.
Or lions.
Or, you know, wild other cats.
Yeah.
That, you know, are walking around on the furniture and with the, you know, basically the owners of the company in these commercials.
Jeff Jabs, he's been around forever. It's kind of like listening to the Shane Company commercials here in the state. Everybody can recite the Shane Company commercial.
You've got a friend in the Diamond Company.
The Shane Company, just off of Arapahoe Road at Emporia Street, or off the Boulder Turnpike at 104th. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5.
And now they have ShaneCo.com. See, it's just been so... It's just like, it's going to be... Because he stopped doing the commercials, and then he came back. Okay, yeah. Done with the Colorado, you know, trivia for a day.
Yeah, so... beyond that, I know Grand Theft Auto 5 has came out. I have never been a big fan of the Grand Theft Auto series, so I have not leaped to go purchase the game yet. However, we do have people that have.
Irish Pride, my brother.
He went to the midnight opening, you said?
Yeah, he went to a midnight release. He's like, I haven't been to a midnight release in years. He goes, and I decided to go to this one and buy the game, take it home, and start playing like crazy with it. Which he did. He stayed up practically when he got home afterwards getting it until wee hours in the morning playing it. But he's liked the Grand Theft Auto series since, what was it, the third one that first came out on the PS2? Because the first two were for the PlayStation, and they were terrible.
Yeah, it was Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, wasn't it?
No, 4 was Vice City.
4 was Vice City.
3 was San Andreas, I think.
No, I think
there was Grand Theft Auto 3, and then there was Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which...
Then Grand Theft Auto 4, and now Grand Theft Auto 5.
Okay.
Yeah, San Andreas was the one with the infamous hot coffee mod. Okay, so what the hot coffee mod was...
Is this right around killing people with hot coffee?
No.
It was...
Basically, you are out on a date with a lady... She invites you back for some coffee, and it leads to sex.
Okay.
The fact that the sex was actually a mini game.
But you had to unlock it. It was like...
You had to... The code... What made it a controversy was the code was in the game, but it was commented out in the programming. However, first PC people obviously figured out how to modify the code in order to re-enable that. And people... At first they wrote it off as like, oh, it's just those PC people making their own stuff. Until somebody with a device that allowed them to mod the piece to, you know, kind of edit and re-enable coding on a PlayStation... managed to enable that function. So then they found out it was actually coding that was on the game disc that just had been commented out, and people had found a way to uncomment it out, to comment it back in, remove the... people know what I'm trying to say here now.
Yes, remove the comment tags, yes.
Yeah.
Programmers, take that as a lesson. Don't leave things in-game, even in comments, if you don't want people to know you did them.
So that created a lot of controversy, and for a while there it actually changed the rating from a mature rating to an AO rating. So then they removed the code, reprinted the discs, and resent it out in order to get back to the mature rating.
Whee! I've never really liked Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I could give it props for what it does, but it is not very female friendly, so.
Yeah, I know two people, as I said, there was Irish Pride and Chris Finelli from The Advanced Gamer also got a copy of it, so we will depend on their judgments of the game for whether or not it is good or bad, because we are obviously the wrong group to be talking about it. Yeah. So, based on them, so far I'm going to say it's a good game. Based on everybody that's ever actually played it, I'm going to have to say it's a good game. It's gotten 10 out of 10s, 5 out of 5s, 9 out of 10s, great scores all around. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yep, just not what I'm interested in playing. I'm just excited, you know, this new Zelda comes out November 22nd. That's the only thing I see on the horizon right now. Yay, Zelda! And everyone's like, well, the new systems come out. I'm like, don't care.
Wait.
Yeah, The Link Between Worlds for the DS, November 22nd.
Okay, for some reason I was still thinking Wind Waker. Which, didn't that come out?
Okay, the bundle came out technically on Friday, on the 20th of September. If you buy the Wind Waker bundle, you can download it and immediately play it, but the actual hard copy isn't coming out till, you can't get it until like October 4th or 2nd or something, I think.
Okay.
So you get it a little bit early if you buy the bundle because it's a download.
So you're going to buy the bundle?
I keep debating because I'm like, ooh, bundle, Zelda! Crazy idea to place by Wii, but then I'm like, on the other hand, I can use that money towards plane tickets to go to Canada.
I can see your dilemma there. Just make sure if you do replace it, you do it while the insurance company will still help you pay for it.
Yes, it got till June, so I keep debating because they almost pay for like half of it.
Yeah.
That's actually how that helps a lot.
Yeah. Maybe I just have to do more eBay sales.
We probably saw some NDK stuff, but I'm trying to think of what I did not talk about last week. And I'm having a brain freeze.
See, I had something else I was going to talk about that I totally have now forgotten what it was going to be. Because I was like, oh, God, I remember this for next week. And
we need to start making notes during the week again so we have a layout plan of what we're going to talk about. Remember when we used to do that?
Yeah.
Remember when we used to play games?
Yeah. New games.
New games without guilt.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to play this game. After like 30 minutes, I'm like, I really should be doing this. I've got this to do.
I got in like half an hour of Torchlight this morning, so I was...
It's like yesterday, it's like, okay, Care Bear and I went grocery shopping, got back. It's like, okay, I want to play games, but I really need to clean my garage. So I spent half the day cleaning the garage.
Yeah, we're in the race against weather finishing up the... Yeah.
House
stuff.
So we still need gutters. We have no gutters on our house. We haven't had gutters in our house since the end of June.
Yeah.
Might want to get it before it snows and you end up with a nice sheet of ice. Well, on the bright side, if anybody tries to get to your house without you knowing, you got an ice moat perimetering your house.
And the garage. Yeah, we don't want to do that. We're almost done. We just have to trim out some foam from the cracks that we sealed, and then we can get the gutters on.
Woohoo!
And then we can paint everything.
Man, we sound like way too much adults for this anymore.
That's how I feel sometimes. I'm like, man, am I just too old for this anymore? But like, my parents still play games.
It's not just it's not the playing games. It's the finding the time to play the games.
Yeah.
I know Care Bear was giving me a hard time because I was watching some Marvel cartoon series the other day. She's like, are you ever going to become not a big kid? I'm like, probably not. Why should I? I like being a big kid.
I mean, there's lots of things that I enjoy that I think, you know, spans a lot of demographics. It's just like, it's what I enjoy. I don't know. I can't think of how to articulate my thought right now.
You enjoy what you like.
Yes.
We enjoy what we enjoy, and there's nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm open up to new things. I mean, we make our own beer now, and... do more gardening and stuff that I never really, you know, did a lot when I was younger. So, well, couldn't really brew beer when I was younger, but...
Well, you could have. You just couldn't drink it.
No, I think legal... Well...
80s is when it became legal, I believe, in Colorado to homebrew.
I guess I could have been part of the process. I can't drink. Couldn't have drunk.
You could have brewed a root beer.
Actually, technically, homebrewing is only allowed for people who are of age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can only legally brew beer if you can legally consume beer.
Well, you could have brewed root beer and then moved into real beer.
Yeah, or ginger beer.
We've got way off game and anime topic and geekery.
So we've been watching Tenchi Muyo.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it last time. I bought the OVA because it got re-released through Funimation and Universal Genion. It's really weird.
Genion.
Every time we play it, it's like Genion Universal. I'm like, did Universal buy up their property?
Like Pioneer's properties?
Here in the States? That's the only thing I can think of. But Funimation's on there too, and so, I don't know.
Yeah, it's basically Funimation's publisher. Because it's still the old, horrible dub.
I need to go back through, at least now I can watch it with the Japanese subtitles, which I've never really done before, just to see how the characters fit a little better. But the problem is I have to watch something dubbed first, even if it's not the greatest. That way I kind of know what's going on. That way if I rewatch it with the subtitles, I have a little bit more context of what's going. And that way if I miss a few things, I'm like, oh, I know what's going on. Because a lot of times I like to do arts when I'm watching things. And it's really hard to do art when you're trying to read subtitles at the same time. Oh, Wikipedia, is there nothing you don't know?
February 2009 is at Genion Universal Entertainment.
Well, I mean, they closed up shop here. Because, you know, Pioneer did all the stuff, and then Churna did Genion, and then Genion went...
Okay, so it's Genion in the States, I think, is still defunct. But it's Genion Universal in Japan. Genion merged with Universal Pictures Japan into Genion Universal Entertainment.
Alright, that explains it. The one thing that was weird about Tenchi is that it was, I think it was an original OVA, so it's an original video release. Which means that it was made directly for video, never was aired on television. And it feels weird when you're watching, because you're like, are these like television episodes? They're kind of longer than that. I don't think they really knew where they were going with the series. It feels very meandering. I don't know if you feel the same way watching. It's like, the first 6 episodes kind of have a little bit of an arc. Kind of. And then it just kind of, like, the bad guy's defeated. And so it's like, well, we got 7 other episodes left. So here's 2 fillers. And then the last, you know, 5 or 6 episodes is another arc. But it kind of... it always implies there's all this stuff that happens in between the episodes that you don't see.
Well, yeah, it's like suddenly they have this, you know, fancy house with the floating hot springs, and where did that come from?
Well, the fancy house has always been existent, but what happened was it got transported from wherever it was closer to the temple out in the middle of nowhere. Tenchi is weird. I've kind of gleaned things over the years, tried to piece it all back together. But all I have to say still is the Blu-ray, at least, man, the transfer of it is awesome.
Yeah, the picture quality is really good.
And they just did a really good job when they first did it. And you can tell that they are hand-painted, hand-drawn cells. Because in some of the shots that are really up close, you can actually see like where they did the inking and such. Like how the lines are completely consistent all the time. You can see the way the pins moved on the cells. I consider that pretty cool, but...
well, considering nowadays everything's done with a lot of computer animation, you don't have as much of that. That is actually kind of neat to see how it was done then.
Yeah. I think the most biggest thing that's helped, at least computer-wise, too, is just keeping colors consistent and coloring faster for a lot of people. They might still do, like, all the animation by hand, but they'll do all the coloring through the computer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tenchi, you know, is a classic amongst most anime fans, especially at least when I was first starting to get into anime, and it's the original harem anime. It seems quite tame, though. Yeah, it's the original harem anime.
Well, I was trying to compare it to Ranma.
Ranma, not so much harem, I think, because there's not that...
there's like 2 girls interested in Ranma.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Well,
the one sister's only interested in him in making money.
See, it's Akane who won't admit it.
Yes.
And then there is
Shampoo.
No, there's a third one. Remember the Japanese pizza girl?
Yeah. So three.
So there's at least three girls.
But he doesn't live with them.
True. Which apparently, I think Funimation said they acquired the rights to Ranma, and it's being re-released, the entire thing.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Goodbye, Hong Kong copy.
Oh, it might actually have an official American version of this eventually.
It's how many?
It's a lot.
There's like 10 seasons, isn't there?
It's like
Ranma?
I thought it was 8. Plus a few movies.
Yeah,
I know there's at least 7. I got a season 5 randomly at Blockbuster because somebody, when we were doing trade-ins, traded it in on DVD. I don't know if it was a Hong Kong copy version or what, but I'm like, score! Because it was like cheap for the whole season. It was like less than $20 after my discount. So I'm like, can't be that. I used to buy a lot of anime through Blockbuster because I could special order it and then buy it new with my 20% discount. So I could get discs sometimes cheaper than $20, which at the time when they were releasing everything disc by disc, it was a lot more economical for me.
Well, and plus I had, if you were lucky, 4 episodes to a disc.
Well, some things are nice. Like, when I first started watching Utena, it's like the first arc, which is the first 13 episodes, the student council arc, is 13. But they divided it, they had it in one pack on 2 discs. One disc had 7 episodes, the other disc had 6. And that's when I would start, like, man, you really could put a lot of episodes on these discs. Why don't they start doing this more often? And they started doing it a little bit more. You would start getting, instead of, like, the 8 disc sets, they started coming down to, like, 7 and 6. Which was a lot better, but I really like the fact that everything, it might take a little bit longer for them to release it, but everything's there and way cheaper than what it used to be. Yeah. So I'm all for this model. Oh, that was the thing we were talking about. When we were interviewing one of the voice actors, he was talking about, we were sort of asking him about the future, and he was talking about the future of anime. And so this is, maybe something you guys want to weigh in on, too, is he goes, I don't know how much longer or how much anime is going to keep existing. Mostly because it's sort of a very thankless job right now. Because it's really hard to get stuff. A lot of companies have a really hard time getting stuff greenlit. There's not a lot of money to be made in it. There's not a lot of talent. The older talent's dying out, and there's not a lot of new talent coming into it.
Because they can't get paid enough to work as an animator.
Yeah, it's basically it. It's sort of a thankless, penniless job, practically. And a lot of people have been moving more and more into video games because video games make lots and lots of money. So it's like, well, is animation going to keep existing in the same way, in the same amount, if people don't appreciate how much work goes into them?
Well, and I can't agree with that. Like, I have a few coworkers that download a lot of stuff. They're like, why don't you just download it instead of buying it? It's like, because if I don't buy it, they stop making it. I have to actually spend money somewhere for them to want to be making it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is the thing. Going to, like, a lot of Funimation's panels, they're like, we do not, plot around a board desk, in a conference room, throwing darts at a dartboard, saying, oh, how can we mess up our American fans and stuff, and, piss them off and whatnot. They don't want to do that. These people enjoy what they do as much as we enjoy watching this stuff. They really are passionate about it, and they're not all, like, evil, grubby, moneymaker Hollywood types, which a lot of people think they are. They're like, no, we would like to be, make a profit that we can live well, but we're not wanting to rake in tons and tons and tons and tons of money. But the best way to support us is by buying our stuff and supporting our stuff and watching stuff, on legal sites where, we have Attack on Titan, streaming on Funimation's website. Every week there's a new episode released. That's how you show your support. Yeah.
I think the quote from him was, vote with your wallet.
Yep.
Because I know they were saying, it's like, well, Sekirei did really good. Freezing is a lot like Sekirei. Let's get Freezing. So basically, if you buy an anime you like, they will. If enough people buy it, they try to license anime similar to what you bought.
Yeah, and they said it's a whole new world now, too, since they're having to, with the simulcast, I think I mentioned this last week, is basically, they're kind of like, putting their money up for a series that hasn't even aired yet, And it's like in Japan where somebody comes and said, I'm going to, you know, propose this to you. What do you think? And the studio's like, okay, cool. Go ahead and do that. We'll air it. Same thing with the simulcast. The studios say, we have this series that's in the making. Would you like the rights to simulcast it? And they have to think about it. They have to say, will this work in our market? Are people going to, you know, take a liking to it? It's a bit more risky. But we're getting to see a lot more interesting things because of that. And when it's, like I was mentioning earlier before we started the podcast, I've been trying to keep on top of Free, Attack on Titan, and Silver Spoon. I just find it odd that, like, I can watch anime on my computer practically, you know, a couple days after it's been released in Japan, or a week, because I don't subscribe to this stuff, but I watch the ads and whatnot. Episodically. I've never been able to watch anime episodically before. It's always like you hear about it way after it's been released in Japan, has a big, you know, fan base. People here start hearing about it, like, we want you to bring this over too. And then I hear about it and say, cool, I want to see this now.
Well, I originally watched Bebop episodically when it was being released on, like, Cartoon Network, because I didn't have the DVDs. You know, I was just like, next week. Every week they were showing, you know, the next episode. It was just like...
See, I was the weird one. I only watched one episode, and it was Mushroom Samba, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy the DVD. And that's what I did.
The fact that Toonami is back on Dish Network, or on Cartoon Network, may help with some of the issue with trying to get some money off there, because at least then they can get advertising revenue off the stuff just being aired on network television. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could see the problem with people, you know, not getting paid enough. I think as computers get more sophisticated and they're able to streamline some of the process, that'll help it stick around a little longer. And there'll always be that niche group that wants to continue doing it.
It's just finding and continuing to market to the niche.
Yeah. We may see more, like, crowdfunded projects like,
Witch Academia.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
It is a, so far, two-episode, essentially, series.
Basically, I forget even which... Just a group of animators are banded together in Japan and released this Little Witch Academia. You can view it on YouTube. The whole thing's on there still. It's only about 12, 15 minutes long. And it's basically about a little witch girl who sees this other witch who used to go around doing performances on stage, and she wants to be like that witch that she saw, so she goes to school.
This is like if Harry Potter wanted to be, you know, Siegfried kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is like the kind of comparison.
And so it served her a little bit of her trials and tribulations on going through one of the courses, which was delving into this dungeon and the aftermath of what happens during the course. They went to Kickstarter because somebody says, oh, you want, because everybody was clamoring for more stuff. And they're like, well, we kind of did this as a labor of love. And people are like, well, we'll give you money to do another one. So they did. And they did really, really well. So Little Witch Academia 2 is going to come out. I forget how long it's going to be now. It's basically at the length of like a full animated feature, practically.
So about 90 minutes or so?
Yeah, between maybe an hour to 90 minutes, somewhere in there. But I forget all the different tiers of stuff that you would get beyond like DVD or a Blu-ray or...
Weren't they giving out some of the cells?
They were giving out some of the cells that were going to come from it. So yeah, they did above and beyond than they were expected. They had never heard of Kickstarter, and when they saw it, they're like, oh my gosh, we can actually get our project funded.
Yeah, Kickstarter is a great thing for getting this random stuff done. I mean, stuff is like, I think this is a great idea. I wonder if other people think it's a great idea, because I know there's no way I'm going to get a corporation to fund me for this.
Yeah, it's sort of like...
Or I maybe could get, you know, corporate funding, but I lose some of my control over the project, and I don't want to relinquish that.
Sort of cutting out the middleman in a lot of respects.
Oh, there are still problems with it, because some people, they'll say, I need this much money. They'll forget to account for income tax in that money. So then they, you know, got just what they needed to do the project, but then they lose a percentage of it because it is income. So I've heard of that causing problems before. And there was another problem with this one pin. The guy had enough funding. He accounted for income tax and everything. His manufacturer couldn't match his demand.
Like?
It was like...
It was this time frame, basically.
Yeah, well, it was like this special pin that this guy had designed and everything. And a lot of people wanted it. And, you know, he had, you know, several order of magnitude. I forget how many more, but a ton more than he had actually planned for. and his manufacturer just couldn't make that many. So then he had to find somewhere else to make it, and that caused a delay, and that caused angry people.
I guess you have to say, it's not a perfect world. You have to really line up a lot of, make sure your ducks are in a row, and things happen. That's an example of, this is a thing that happened, and it's like, oh, didn't think of this, but it's so new. We don't know what all the pitfalls are. I just think it's a, you know, interesting, you know, premise.
I think it's a great idea, and it's a great way to get people to try something that they've always wanted to do. Well, I think we should probably call it here, because I don't have a whole lot more to talk about. I think we were stretching it anyways, but parts of this. So, visit us at thegameslave.com, facebook.com/thegameslave, Twitter at thegameslave, or on Google Plus, search thegameslave, because they have some incomprehensible number for the name of the site.
Whee!
Anywho, have a great week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.